3, 2, 1, welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. Woo, 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 woo. All right, so we've got a very special guest here. First time on this podcast, just as an introduction to him. He is the oversight of our church and the senior pastor of Jesus is Alive International Ministries. He's been in full-time ministry for 40 years and personally has been an immense influence on my life, and I'm sure Jamison's definitely life as well, and all the people actually on this podcast that has been on here, you'll be able to hear his influence on us. But yeah, we've got Pastor Paul.
Woo.
Woo, woo,
thank
woo.
You. Welcome.
And nice thing with me is Jamison.
Yes, I'm here too. Can't forget about me.
Yep.
Praise God.
So I've always wanted to interview you, and I think one of your fortes in sharing is committing to Christ,
right,
and living that committed life,
right.
So I really wanted to ask questions to help everyone almost like reproduce what you have in you in everyone that's listening,
right.
So jumping straight into the questions, what does it look like to live for Christ?
What does it look like
in relation to every area of life, relationships, finance, business? What does it look like to have Christ as the priority?
Right. Well, firstly, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And hello. And it's a wonderful privilege to be able to share with you today as well. So in answer to your question, the first priority in serving Christ is obedience. Mm. He said, if you're a hearer only, you'll suffer the consequences of having no foundation. And the foundation begins with relationship. And so in every aspect of, or from business right through to relationships, marriages, partnerships, all require that we're obedient to that winning accolade, right? God's wisdom is the beginning of fear. So to be in awe of God is to obey God, knowing that his wisdom causes you to enjoy good success.
Yeah.
So if I want to be successful in my relationship with my wife or with other people or networks or partnership in business or even clients, I need to not focus on me, but focus on them. So what I would have others do unto me, I need to do for them first. So if I'm looking to increase business, I need more clients, I need more sales. Well, then I need to make sure that what the person is wanting to purchase is what I'm supplying. I need to give them a guarantee of integrity so that there is no disappointment with the product that I'm presenting. Mm. So therefore, then I ask if I'm selling marketing and my business is to be the marketer on behalf of a client. Well, then, to give you an idea how this principle works, then this is the kingdom of God in action. Mm-hmm. So love honors, prefers their brother. Mm. Okay, so love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love God first, love your neighbor as you'd love yourself. So then I need to look at the client and I need to look at his clients and his sales. If I'm not looking at that, I'm not going to have the right presentation for him. It's not about me getting the money. It's about him being successful. My job is to make him successful. Therefore, as a Christian, a believer, I obey God, and his instructions aren't grievous. Mm. They're not hard.
Yeah.
It's when I come into agreement with God, that's humility. And then he gives more grace to those humble, those that are proud and want to do it in their own way and style. They always suffer menial results and oft times bankruptcy because being a Christian doesn't guarantee success in business. Mm. You have to apply the kingdom wisdom to be successful in business. Mm. So obedience to the word, not a hearer, but a doer. So for the client, I then begin to intercede as a believer for their clients as a result of the marketing material that God inspires. So I'm asking God to give me the inspiration for his clients.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now I am setting myself up to be in line for creative, profitable, inspired, ideas that are already blessed by God to multiply.
Yeah.
Okay, for them and for us. What we want to be successful in business is repeat business, referral business. You don't get that by being self-centered. Mm. So to be successful in Christian life, I need to be focused on Christ, loving him. He says in John 14, if you love me, you'll obey me. Mm. All right, so if I want to exercise my love to Jesus, I need to abide. Not under the law, not legalism, but out of a genuine trust that relies on God to grace me, to position me, to have the inspiration, right? Words in season.
Yeah.
The wisdom of God that's irrefutable. Supernatural intervention and favor. Wow, what an amazing thing. And all this is available to us if we have the right attitude. Amen. So he says, deny yourself.
Yeah.
Pick up Christ's direction. Follow him in it. So live it. Live what he says. And then get ready for the blessing that runs and overtakes you. In relationship, if I am focused on the person that I'm looking to either serve or minister to or partner with or courtship, if it's all about me, it has no future.
Yeah.
No future. When I start to, as he says, the golden rule, make happen for others what I would happen for me. So I need to be considerate. I need to be thoughtful. I need to follow through. I need to do what I say I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You're right. And I need to position myself to be eligible for marriage. Because 1 Corinthians 7 says not everybody is eligible for marriage. And the thing that disqualifies people from successful marriage is the inability to take the responsibility to deny oneself. Okay. And so, in short, obedience. Obedience opens up the blessing of Abraham that Galatians 3:29 tells us is part of our inheritance. And obedience immediately puts the enemy on the back foot. Obedience to God and his word puts the enemy on the back foot. And it releases prosperous direction and results, which is immeasurable. It's wonderful to be obedient to God.
So you covered a little bit of ground over there in such a short amount of time. But with anyone who has, you know, experienced a life where they live out in faith for Christ, you know, I'm sure that, you know, everyone that can relate to that can say that the Christian life isn't all sunshines and rainbows and happy days. You know, there are trials, there are tribulations, there's pressure, there's demand. How do we stay committed to Christ with all of that that comes against us, oppression, retaliation, you name it? How do we stay committed?
In Christ. The bottom line, the devil, or let's say your adversary, all right, 1 Peter 5:8, he says you're your adversary, and then he names him, the devil, Satan, right? Okay, he's the one who's opposed to God's destiny for you.
Yeah.
Him. Okay. What he wants you to do is to forget that Christ is in you. Knowing that Christ is in you and how to release him to flood, like Ephesians chapter 1, 17 through, and chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, to move into the supernatural empowerment and enablement of the Spirit. So when I try to counteract any hope deferred, you're right, if my relationship, and this is where the foundation, my foundation through obedience causes me to know that my goal is not to become independent and self-sufficient. My goal is to become fully trusting in reliance on God in covenant partnership, right? Knowing that nothing's impossible. That if I look to myself, I'm going to go down in a great screaming heap because I am not able to deal with many of the tests and trials and pressures that come. But I need to identify what it is that's coming against me and to get quiet. Be still and know that I am God. So in other words, shut up. Shut down the talk. Draw aside, get into the presence of God. Renew your strength. What strength? Your faith, your expectation, clarity. Who called you? Whose idea was this? Am I leaning to my own understanding? And he said, don't lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways, and I'll direct your path. When he said, you're going to go through a narrow path and it's in and under the shadow of death. But then he gives us the exhortation, fear not. Well, so then if I have anxiety and fear and pressure abounds, well, then I have immediately lost focus on who it is that called me, who it is that empowers me, who it is that anoints me, who it is that prospers me.
Yeah.
Right? And so if my focus comes back onto Christ, I'm established in his peace. And his peace will crush all the noise underneath my feet. Now, it's one thing to hear that, and it's another thing to apply it. What I've learned is that you'll have many misdemeanors, many failures, and each one of them is a clip over the ear when the Holy Spirit gets through all your noise. And then you learn.
Yeah.
Right? You learn that, hang on a minute, God's for me and he's never, ever going to change that. And the devil is not going to change. He's still going to be opposing everything that I'm looking to do. So therefore, peace. I need peace. Peace opens the door for clarity. Clarity is a beautiful thing. The moment you've heard from God, all of everything else just goes away because you've heard from God. Is that you, Lord? Peter said. And he said, if that's you, bid me come. He had one word, come. And Peter forgot about sinking. Peter forgot about the storm. He received that empowerment and he's out the boat and he's on the water. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. For someone who is struggling to find peace, what's your advice for them?
Repent.
Well.
And repent means change lifestyle, which means change what you're thinking. Okay. And you've given voice, right? Voice to a demon that is propagating your failure, your demise, your foolishness for trusting God. It's a devil that's speaking to you. Shut the devil down in Jesus' name. You've got authority over it. God will not remove that. It's your choice. This day I set before you life and blessing, right? Life and blessing. I have to choose that. I have to choose that. When I choose it, he'll back me up. The moment I choose to exercise faith in the name of Jesus to take authority over that that propaganda, the Holy Spirit backs me up and the power, and that thing runs. And then I am established in peace. Then I'll receive, come. Then I can walk on that. I need to hear from God. Therefore, all the noise, all the distractions, I need to take authority over it, draw into my closet. What does that mean? A place. It means I can be in the middle of 10,000 people and I tune into God. I select the channel, man, and I turn everything else down and I turn that up. And now I'm waiting to hear from God. Now, he knows exactly what I'm going through and what I'm facing because he's in me. He's feeling it. And he also knows the way out. So once I connect to that, knowing that he's there with all this power to enable me to get through, get quiet, tune in, and hear the word of the Lord. And then everything's shifted.
A thing that I think a lot of people struggle with is feelings. So when they're going through a trial, they're overwhelmed with feeling. And then it's almost like their will is compromised and they don't even want to seek the Lord or anything like that. They just want to grovel in self-pity or do something that they know in the past has provided them comfort.
Pleasure.
A distraction.
Yes.
So for those people that are stuck in there, how do they get out of that?
Well, they're isolated themselves, haven't they? Divide and conquer. So you see, the moment you walk into the darkness, it empowers it. And that's why the alcoholic has to say, or come to the point where they admit, I am an alcoholic. I can't control this. So the first thing they need to do is to actually admit they got a problem. Okay? And so then what? Well, they need to come forth out of isolation into where they can get help. Okay? So that's the first thing. Isolation is the devil's playground.
Yeah.
It just causes havoc, right? Fellowship is a power base for deliverance and healing, well-being, encouragement, uplifting, right? Establishing of hope.
Yeah.
Fellowship. Thank God for fellowship. As far as feelings and overwhelming, yes. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, who's a champion of the faith, he says, there's no good thing in my flesh. Now, he's not talking about his physical body. He's talking about the old Adamic mindset. Okay? So he says, the things that I know that I should do, I don't. And the things that I know I shouldn't do, I'm doing. And then he says, who can deliver me out of this dilemma? Christ. There's no condemnation for those who walk in or after the Spirit. But the condemnation comes when I follow the flesh or the old Adamic. So he says, the apostle says, I need to take the old mindset and the old habits off and put the new on. So I am a new creation in Christ. So I need to preach to myself what God says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I know myself in my progression as a Christian. You'd have victories at times, and then in the same area where you got victory today, in several months, the same thing comes back and entices you, and you go over again. And the reason for that is because you didn't stop to take the time to sow the word, plant. You know, Luke 17, verse 5, he says, the apostle said, increase our faith. And then he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. So if you had faith seed, with a faith seed, you need to plant it. Where do you plant it? In your soul. You need to impregnate it. When I came out of demonic stuff and oppression, depression, I had manic depression for 5 years, right? And terrible, terrible torment and riveting, paralyzing fear would come on me. And this would happen in the nighttime, usually about 3 o'clock in the morning. I would hear a procession of heavy footsteps coming down the hallway and the rest of it. And I'd be hearing it, and the next thing I'm paralyzed. And this thing would torment the daylights out of me. And I had no defense. I wasn't a Christian then. Okay, so when I become a Christian and I come out of that, I still had the fear of the demonic. You understand? And then how do I get rid of this fear of the demonic? Now, I was in fellowship. You see, well, now I can't stress how important obedience to the word and the leading of the Spirit and fellowship with like-minded Christians, with strong Christians. Okay, now Galatians gives us a warning about that. When I'm up and my brother or sister's down, don't think you're better than them, because it can be... You know, don't shoot the wounded, because tomorrow you might be the wounded man.
That's right.
Okay, so we've got to be very cautious about that and give God the glory for what he does. But so the fellowship. So I would be, my feelings are uncontrollable. I am terrorized by this demonic presence. And so I'm reaching out in fellowship to them, right? And I'm saying, help! Now, they haven't got a chance to get a word in edgeways because my emotions are screaming, help. You know, and what did I want? I wanted them to kick that tormenting spirit out of my life, out of my way, and to cease this thing. And what did they say? Have you decreed the blood scriptures? Bang, and hung up. Oh, I got ropeable, right? And I'd ring back and the phone was off the hook. Okay? We didn't have text then. And so there's no way of contacting them. And so, hey, wow, And I thought, okay, where do we go from here? And so then it forced me to have to ask God myself. Now, when I ask God myself, even in amongst all of that, like I'm crawling up the wall with these things, he said, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I said, well, what good is that for me right now? He said, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And I said, I haven't got time to first seek the kingdom because I need help now. Yeah. What are you talking about? First seek the kingdom of God. Yeah. And he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And that was his answer to me. Mm. Was he being hard? No, he said, you need to build a foundation of trust so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil and hold the place and keep your deliverance. Mm. All right?
Yeah.
And so I began. I began to make those confessions of faith. Mm. And as I'm saying them, I'm hearing them. And as I'm saying them, I'm hearing them. And there's nothing of faith in it at the moment. I'm just being obedient. But then the more I'm asking him to help and I start leaning on him giving me supernatural understanding, I start getting a revelation.
Mm.
And that revelation is the seed of faith I need to plant in my soul. When I have planted in my soul, I become pregnant. Mm. When I become pregnant, I'm expecting to have a delivery. Mm. I am going to be Matthew 12, verse 35, where from a good man's treasure, he brings forth good things. Yeah. So I'm going to bring forth means to create.
Yeah.
I am looking to create a different atmosphere. I'm looking to create a safe zone, a BAR zone, you know, a bar zone, like you can't touch me here. Well, that is in the refuge of Almighty God. Mm-hmm. And I found to my utter amazement that as I continued to say that, how many times? Oh, probably 10,000 times over the period of 3 months.
Mm.
And every time this thing came, I would start to speak it out aloud.
Mm.
For greater is he that is in me. Not realizing that that word, as it started to receive, I started to receive the revelation of it, also started to put faith in what I'm saying, and then it became a sword of the Spirit.
Mm.
And the other thing that I wasn't aware of, I was starting to build the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts. So here is the first restrictions of inflamed feelings and passions on the flesh. So my flesh said, don't waste your time making a confession. Ask them to pray for you and get rid of it.
Mm.
Right? But there's no foundation.
Yeah.
All right.
So how long did that process take? Was that a one night thing or?
10,000 times.
10,000 times.
And how many times have I said it since? Millions. I haven't kept count. Like you see, you live it. It becomes a lifestyle. But the point is that it positioned me with faith. Faith in the name of Jesus works the miracles.
Mm.
The name of Jesus without faith is impotent.
Mm.
So I had to have faith that greater is he that is in me than he that is attacking me.
Mm.
The moment that became a reality, it was changed. But because I spent the time, because I had wise believers with me, like they didn't ignore me all the time.
Mm.
I'd come to the next meeting and then they start building in and they start praying for the traumas in my life that gave entrance for these things that sought comfort that led me into repetitive sin, right? And they also taught me and instructed me that when I willingly get involved with the sin, I become a slave to sin, that sin actually starts to live its life through me.
Mm.
And when I understood that, right, it was like a leech that was stuck on me, that was sucking the blood out of my life. Life is in the blood, the Bible tells us in Leviticus.
Mm.
And so this thing was sucking out my life and making it torment. So, well, it was momentary pleasure, but the dregs of the experience, the condemnation and all the guilt and the powerlessness in the spirit wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
And so probably 6 months, and now wait for this. It's what most people don't understand. That when you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, an anointing comes. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And when it hits you, oh, it's powerful. There's nothing that can resist the anointing, the presence of Christ released. And that is interesting because it explodes in you and then comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And the anointing that's within you, 1 John 2:20, and then the anointing that comes on you, 1 John 2:27, collide. It's like the tide going out and the tide coming in. You've got two sets of waves. One's going this way, and because the tide's out. And so you get that. When they hit, there's this explosion. Well, there's a literal explosion that happens when you get the anointing for victory released on your life. And then you carry it. That's the difference. Because you spend the time building it, you got to... You got to build it into your soul so that it will give you the treasure. The treasure is what you prioritize. So I prioritize, for greater is he that is in me than he that is the world. When I have an issue, first seek the kingdom of God and his way of doing and being right, and all these other things, including liberty, will be added to me.
Yeah. To finish off this episode, so you keep mentioning it's up to us to make the decision.
Yes.
So for a lot of people, the biggest enemy is themselves. So how does someone overcome that where they understand that I'm in this predicament because of me? So in like that example of you being in depression for 5 years, why did it take 5 years?
I wasn't saved.
I see.
I wasn't saved and I was in isolation. I didn't have any friends around. I didn't have any strength to challenge me. They didn't even know what to call it or what to do with it. And with me, it was violent rage. And it would I would explode and I slammed the door so hard, and I did it once too often, and the whole ceiling collapsed. I mean, frustrated, rage, violence, and it would just come out of me, you know? And so this is the type of thing. The depression, there is no restraint against demons coming in and out of my soul and flesh, not in my spirit. So I wasn't born again then. So my spirit was full of rebellion and death. Okay. Sin was ruling my life. And so the demonic stuff had access to me. If you're on drugs or get drunk, pass out. So these people that pass out, they drink until they pass out. The number of demons that go into their body at that moment where they're passive, it's amazing. And then they wonder why their life is such a disaster. And it's as a result of the hitchhikers they've picked up. You understand? But once you take the word and you start to put it into action, you start living it. So you're doing it, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, your authority level starts to rise. And out of your mouth comes a word of faith, and it's full of authority. And that thing changes everything. So that's what he said. So if you plant that seed of faith in your soul, when you've birthed it, when you're ready to birth it, you speak to that mulberry tree to be plucked up by the roots. Man, it's going. And we cast into the sea. So like, wow, it just opens up a new dimension. And the two things that I've found, that isolation, right? And that even means secret sin. Secret sin is a stupid thing because you could be another 10 years trapped because you become sin's slave. So you're living your life around a repeat session of comfort, distraction. So the pleasure thing is a distraction from the pain you're in, but it opens the door for more activity and is possessing more influence over your decision making. Right? And that's what you can't afford. So you need to come out of isolation and you need to be confessing it. He says, confess your sin and that Christ is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the emphasis there is that where you'd gone off track through confession. Now, confession means to be open and to express that. So you have to verbally say, right? I confess that I've been full of anxiety and I've allowed anxiety to do this, or I'm full of loneliness and I've allowed this loneliness to influence my decisions. And because of that loneliness, I've done this, 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 and this. Okay. I don't want that anymore. So I'm confessing my sin. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to reposition me in the plan of heaven for my life, where blessing is and life is. And I'm asking you to empower me through your grace to change my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? That's the first. So now I need to run from the cycle of loneliness, rejection, pain, that goes into pleasure to make a distraction before I start this thing all over again. Okay? So I need to run from that. So I need to break the cycle. All right. I need strong believers in my presence. And I need to say, I need you to buddy me for a while. Will you buddy me for a while? Will you disciple me through this? Will you keep encouraging me? Will you pray for me? Not to do it for me. He can't do it for you, but he can be praying and working with you, and then you are delivered. So 1 Timothy 2:26 says that when I'm caught by a repetitive sin, the devil can take me captive at his will. So the interesting thing about the word, it says, be sure that your sin will find you out. You become so deadened in your conscience, you're not even aware that that habit now is lazy. It's not being hidden anymore. It's starting to slip out. So the way you look, the way you touch, like a person that's constantly dealing with pornography and that. Initially, there's no outward type of form with it. But as it gains more and more place and influence over the person, it starts to come out of their flesh. So they touch somebody and bang, that person can register that unclean feeling that comes. Or you're looking at somebody and you're undressing them. They feel that. Here is a lecherous devil now loose, and it's coming through you. And they don't know that it's just a devil necessarily. They just think, you're a horrible person. I don't like being in that presence. Don't invite that person. You know, you see what I'm saying? So like the influence becomes a characteristic that it's become so much you that you don't hide it anymore.
Yeah.
There's no restraint. So that's the Bible calls that lasciviousness. There's no restraint. Okay. But if I choose to come out of isolation, come out of dark, get with a brother or sister and fellowship, work that thing through. And, you know, a month, you start changing the mindset. 3 months, you've established it. You're right. So, but you need to set yourself a course of at least 3 months to walk alongside. And then you'll come out and, oh, mate, you get the devil cast out of you. You renew your mind. You build the foundation. And it's beautiful being clean. Creating me a clean spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Does that answer that?
Beautifully. So that would be a good place to end, and also pray. Could you pray for the people listening?
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father, and we thank you that you are a Father that 100% loves us. You're not a man that you should lie. You do not lie, and you're not far from us. You abide in us. So we ask, Almighty God, that you will give revelation and understanding, that you will open their spiritual eyes and ears to both perceive, understand, and hear your word to them. And I pray, Almighty God, right now, that where they've been captive to sin and they repent from it, that the demonic influence that has gripped their lives, those that are battling with suicide, those that are battling with low self-esteem that opens the door for suicide and self-harm, we take authority over those spirits in Jesus Christ right now and command them to shut up and to leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, and we loose the host of heaven under the captaincy of Jesus Christ to enforce that and to set a wall of salvation, a wall of love around them, Father, and release, Father, we're releasing your healing power by the Holy Spirit to minister wholeness and release from the traumas that have created this repetitive need for distraction through pleasure, in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you now, Father, the spirit, life, light is flowing into their soul. I thank you for the resurrection power flowing into their soul, yes, removing the weapons that have been introduced to them to be triggers, trigger points, and to have an ear to the trigger that sets off the recycling sin that strengthens their captivity.
Yes.
So, Father, I thank you. We speak life, light, peace in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I sense the anointing, your presence right now from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, flowing through the peace of God, crushing the enemy under their feet. And I pray, Father, their spirit, their soul, and their body be aligned with your perfect and holy will for them. We seal them in the love and the blood of Jesus Christ. Commend them to you for blessing, for life, for goodness. And I thank you, Father, that you forge real friendship bonds of fellowship in their churches, church families where they're assigned. And I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit directing them in that, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Paul.
Welcome.
And thank you guys for listening. I encourage you guys to listen to that multiple times. And we'll see you guys again next week with Pastor Paul. All right.
Thank you. God bless. He loves you. He loves you. Don't give up on God. He never gives up on you. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.